will be my last introduction for your student section special selection Sunday edition. And now, broadcasting out of Studio B, this host is a wordsmith and a facilitator. He stands 6 feet 5 inches, 170 pounds, hailing from Richmond, Virginia, Andrew Wallace.
Yeah. And that's how you do it. That's how you bring it in. Thank you for that, Alex. All-star cast, upper-class all-star cast with the Prodigy alongside me, as well as Mr. RJ, the name of his illustrious dog, Brooks Carter and Crawford.
He didn't call me Mr. RJ. He called me something to do with sassy or something like
the
that.
The heart of Dalton.
Your
the
dog is illustrious?
Oh, I'm the heart of Dalton.
That your dog sense. Is illustrious?
No, my dog's name's RJ.
I think he is. I like him. I appreciate him. We're getting into the East action right here, as is fitting. Seth hinted at the fact that my squad is the number one seed here, so we'll start with that. The University of Virginia Cavaliers start off on Friday in the Raleigh, North Carolina Regional versus the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. 1-16. The 8-9 is Memphis versus George Washington, another team in the state of Virginia. In Spokane, Washington on Thursday, you have the 5 seed Cincy taking on the champions of the Ivy League, the 12 Harvard. And then the champions of the Big Ten at the 4 seed, Michigan State. Spartans take on the Blue Hens of Delaware.
Fighting Blue Hens.
Fighting Blue Hens. Had a friend in high school play
which NFL quarterback came from Delaware?
Flacco.
Bingo.
Yes, that's a good Delaware stat. Probably the only.
Baker just vomited.
Sorry, Bengals fan over there. Sorry.
Over it.
All right, in San Antonio, Texas on Friday at the 6, North Carolina versus the 11, Providence Friars, the champion of the Big East tournament. And then also on Friday, the 3 Iowa State Cyclones, champions of the Big 12 tournament, versus the 14 North Carolina Central squad, champions of their respective universities tournament. Buffalo, New York on Thursday, you got UConn at the 7 and St. Joe's at the 10, the A-10 tourney champs. So real quick before we get into the Villanova-Milwaukee matchup, which rounds it out, you got the ACC tournament champ, the Big Ten tournament champ, the Big East tournament champ, the Big 12 tournament champ, and the Atlantic 10 tournament champ, all in the East Regional. To put that in another perspective, five conferences that have at least 5 teams in this tournament, all of their tournament conference champions are in this regional.
Probably the top 5, I mean, 5 out of the probably top 6 conferences in college basketball. I would put the A-10 above the SEC at this point. So, yeah, I mean, so definitely a lot of quality teams in this conference, or in this region.
You're right, and yet when I look at the bracket, it's really not that intimidating just in terms of name value. It's just not. You've got North Carolina, who's a great basketball name brand. Virginia in the past has been a basketball name brand. It's their first number one seed since 1983. Memphis is a solid brand. Connecticut. But there's just nobody that you look at and instantly start going, oh my goodness, this team is the one.
Sure, like for this particular season, I get what you're saying. I'm looking at it, I'm kind of thinking this region is going to breed something interesting. I'm not sure what it's going to breed, but I think something good is going to come out of it. I mean, when you have an ACC tournament champ, the ACC has 6 teams in the tournament. The Big Ten tournament champs also 16. The A-10 also 16. The Big East has 5 teams in this tournament. And to close things out, the Big 12 has 7 in this tournament. So you have teams that won a conference that have a collective total of 30 teams in the tournament. So of all these conferences, 30 teams stem from the conferences that the champions are represented in this East Regional. Well, we'll get right to it, and we'll start off with the Raleigh, North Carolina portion of things. What do you guys see happening out of this region, and do you see the winner of this region advancing to do anything worth any note?
Well, I hate it for Memphis, number one. Obviously, Virginia will win that first game. I don't think they're going to be the first one seed to lose a 116. I do hate for Memphis that they have drawn Virginia, because I think that is a really bad matchup for the Tigers. The Tigers are a team who I think I heard them described earlier in the year as not championship contenders, but could certainly beat one. And I really hate it for their sake that they're playing Virginia, because I think Virginia is a very bad matchup for Memphis, just in terms of the size and the guard play that Virginia has. It really doesn't match up well for Memphis. I think Virginia carries it out of that Raleigh regional pretty easily.
All right, what do you think, Brooks?
I agree with that, because Memphis, here's the thing about Memphis. They the American Athletic Conference has gotten a lot of has basically gotten no respect in this tournament, in my opinion. They've seeded all of their teams that were expected to be in. Oh, SMU didn't even make the tournament, and they were a team that were that was ranked in the top 25 going into championship week. Memphis was a team ranked in the top 25, and you would expect them to be at least a 5 to 7 seed. Now they're sitting here as an 8 seed, and then we saw Louisville, the conference champion, as the 4 seed. So Memphis is, like you said, they're not. This is going to be a bad matchup for them, and they're not the beneficiary of where they've been seeded. So I don't see Virginia getting tested at all in the round of 32, or obviously in the first round with Coastal Carolina.
In Spokane, Washington, you've got Cincinnati, Harvard, Michigan State, and then Delaware. How do things shape up out in Spokane on a Thursday slew of games for you guys?
I think the Harvard-Cincinnati game is going to be a very interesting. Harvard they've been the class of the Ivy League here the last couple of seasons, and I think they're due for an upset. Cincinnati is a team who was very highly ranked at the beginning of the season, a team who was consistently in the top 10, and then they've kind of faded down the stretch here. And I actually like Harvard to upset them in this game. And then
5-12.
And then Michigan State. That's been a trendy pick actually on CBS. That was a trendy pick for every single one of them picked them to go to the Final Four out of this region.
That's the shocking thing to me, maybe of the entire bracket of all four regions, is how Michigan State is a 4 seed. Mm-hmm. I understand when you look at their resume that their resume is not unbelievable. They've got losses to people that maybe they aren't fantastic. But Michigan State has dealt with injuries like almost nobody in college basketball this year. Adrian Payne has been out. Brendan Dawson has been out for a time. Keith Appling has been out for a number of times in and out throughout the season. Those are their three leading guys. Gary Harris has also struggled with injuries. Michigan State has been absolutely demolished by the injury bug. They finally got healthy right at the end of the season, and look what they did. They won the absolute, they won the Big Ten championship and deserved to do so. It was not fluke victories over Wisconsin or Michigan. They beat Michigan significantly. I think Michigan State's a much better team than a 4 seed.
And Payne really isn't back to how he once was. The beginning of the season, he was full on dominant. Now he's kind of taken a role as what is best for the team I will do. And he's shooting at a high level. He's just not quite being the impact player. And for Cincinnati, on the other side of things, Cincinnati lost two of their last three games to UConn. They lost to Louisville. They even lost to a team that got snubbed that I'm sure we'll talk about on the next segment, the SMU Mustangs, to close out their season. So the month of February and onward wasn't very kind for the Cincinnati Bearcats. San Antonio, Texas Regional, UNC Providence, of course, the first game on that Friday. Then you have the Cyclones, and then NC State, the Central Eagles. I don't know what's going to be come out of that. I'm going to go ahead and say right away, though, UNC was hot. But
NC Central.
NC Central.
NC Central. No, NC State.
Yes, you're right. North Carolina Central. But I'm saying UNC was hot, but kind of like Arkansas, they faded out of things for me. So I might have this Providence squad on putting UNC on upset alert here. What do you guys think?
I would tend to agree with that, but then I wouldn't be surprised if Providence, you know, gets beat in the first round, because similar to, you know, even though this is the new Big East, that tournament is still not an easy tournament to go through. And it seems like every team that winds up winning the Big East always winds up not faring well in the NCAA tournament, with the exception of UConn a couple years ago. I don't like Providence in this first round.
Bryce Cotton's game log over the last couple games has been absolutely critical.
I completely agree with you, Andrew. I have to disagree with you, Brooks, there. I think Providence is on a roll, and I think that the Big East teams that, you know, usually do well in their conference tournament, you know, they do well when they go into the tournament. I mean, I think you brought up that UConn team. I think that was actually a good example to support the cause that you're going against. The Big East teams usually do really well in the NCAA tournament.
Syracuse always played well in the Big East tournament, and then they would turn around and get beat in the Sweet 16 or something like that. And Providence has such a low seed that I don't think it's going to – even if they beat North Carolina, I don't think they're going to – I think Iowa State will probably handle them in the second round.
Yeah, but my thing is they're just really, really, really hot right now. And Andrew brought up Bryce Cotton, also another guy, Chris Dunn, their point guard, averaging 5 assists a game. So they have two guys averaging 5 assists a game. I mean, that's huge when you face a team like UNC. I just think with wins over St. John, Seton Hall, and Creighton all in a row, and then they won 3 straight before that, before their loss to Creighton before that. So, I mean, they've got a pretty good resume there. And the Big East has not been that bad this year. So I think watch out for the The Friars.
Cotton's been heating up, too, and I'm not worried about his conditioning at all, because listen to this, guys. From Wednesday, the 1st of January, all the way until the date of Saturday, March 8th, Bryce Cotton logged at least 40 minutes in every single game he played in, including three games where he played 50 minutes because of overtime performances. So I think that this guy, if he was to cool off, it would have happened during the tournament. It would have happened during the run, but he did not. He finished with 23 points, 18 points, 12 points, and 23 points. So Cotton's certainly getting his streak together. Anything else from this San Antonio regional?
I think Iowa State's going to come out of this regional. I mean, ultimately, I think I don't know between that North Carolina Providence game. I think James Michael McAdoo is the best player on the court for either team, and he plays for Carolina. Obviously, like you said, Cotton is very hot right now, but he's also not played people that have the athletic prowess of a North Carolina. I think it's all academic, though. I think Iowa State beats whichever of those two teams wins that opening round game.
Yeah. And one more interesting thing about Providence. Providence hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since 2004, whereas North Carolina's got some tournament experience on that team, and that could play into this as well.
And Roy Williams.
And I know Iowa State's really, really hot, but you guys might be calling me crazy here, but North Carolina Central's on a 22-game win streak. They've only lost five games all year, one conference game. One of their losses is to Wichita State, and they have a win over NC State, a tournament team, in their non-conference schedule. So I think Iowa State will still win, but this could be really, really, really taxing on the Cyclones and could kind of rough up a bit of their run.
Go Eagles, 7th in the nation in points allowed, too, not giving up over 60 points per game. So certainly something to keep an eye on there. The North Carolina Central Eagles, not North Carolina State. Buffalo, New York Regional, UConn versus St. Joe's on Thursday. And then Villanova, who would have had the one seed had they been able to close things out in their respective conference tournament, will face Milwaukee, another interesting team, the Panthers, out of this great state of Wisconsin. What stands out for you guys in this bottom half of the East Regional?
I think St. Joe stands out to me the most because of they had a very thrilling game in the Atlantic 10 Conference Championship game, a game that I really didn't expect them to win, and I thought they performed very well in that tournament. And I think that's going to be able to carry some momentum in with a big win over VCU in that conference championship game, and then they also beat another tournament team in Dayton in that conference championship. So I think they're kind of rolling into this tournament after two straight losses going into the A-10 tournament. So I think they stand a very good shot at beating a Connecticut team who has been kind of iffy down the stretch as well.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. But on the other hand, when you look at Connecticut, they won the last nine games that they played. They had two losses in the last nine games that they played. Both were against Louisville.
One of them was by like 30 points.
Right. One of them was pretty significant, but it was at Louisville. And, you know, basketball is by far the sport that carries the most advantage for playing at home.
Just ask Alabama.
No doubt. I think Connecticut is a really good team. You know, they have eight losses. Three of them were to Louisville. Two of them were to SMU. So that's five taken out right there on those two teams. Luckily, they don't have to play Louisville or SMU. I think they beat St. Joe's, but I do think Villanova goes ahead and moves on out of this bracket as well. I know they had a little bit of a rough go of it against Seton Hall, but I just think that was a fluke.
Okay, so the two bottom line questions that we've kind of been working up for: what is the final matchup in this region? Who are the two teams to play for that East Final Four berth? And what percentage do you give the winner of the East in being the eventual overall champion in this field? I'll start if you guys want me to give an example. I'll go real quick. Michigan State and Villanova, I think, are in my two for the final. And I'll say the winner of this region has a 41% chance in winning the overall tournament.
My final two, frankly, I think the most entertaining game of the whole region will be the Virginia-Michigan State Sweet 16 game. I think that'll be by far the most fun, and the winner of that will go on to the Final Four, in my eyes. But just based on looking at it, I think it's going to be Michigan State simply because of Tom Izzo. He always carries his team one step further than they should go by all rights. It'll be Michigan State and I'm going to say Connecticut.
Okay.
I think Shabazz Napier gets hot and carries Connecticut. But once Michigan State goes through, I think they have a 36% chance.
All right, Brooks, what you got?
I have Michigan State and Iowa State in the Elite Eight in this region, and I'm going to give Michigan State the nod, and I'm going to give them I like them to get to the Final Four, but I don't think they're going to win it or get past that point. So I guess I will give them like a 25% chance.
All right, fair enough. All right, when we return on the next side of the break, we're going to have a collective group opinion. The last segment, everyone's going to be participating. So returning to the action on the other side of things will be Seth Juniak and Baker Lehman. And Alex is done with his MMA voice, but we'll hear more from him in terms of opinion and analysis on this all-star cast, the Sunday Student Section Selection Show. Yeah, I was really not looking forward to saying that, but there it is.
Your English teacher is proud.
I know.
It's a lot of alliteration.
Thank you. I can do it with the best of them. 90.7 The Caps on WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.